This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Boys. Hey, that's an original for me. An original hot tune dropping right now. Let's hear it for me. I'm a boy. I'm Alex.
That's not the beginning of the episode we're doing right now, is it? That's the beginning? Well, in post, we're going to add more, like, music.
Yeah. Some drums and...
auto-tune? We can auto-tune that,
EDM.
Right?
We'll add some EDM.
Oh, my God.
All right, I'm Justin. Let's do it.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about The Boys Season 3, Episode 6, Herogasm. So check that out on Prime Video if you haven't already, because we're going to jump into spoilers. But as you can probably tell from the title, we finally get a much dreaded slash anticipated event straight from The Boys comics. It is full-on soup orgy called Herogasm. But before we get there, there's a lot of stuff going on as Soldier Boy
You know, Alex, that's the salacious part, and I can see why you jumped right to that. There's a lot going on in this episode, in addition to the humping that you're so focused on.
So let's get over that hump, or actually back to the beginning of that hump, if you will. And Soldier Boy is teaming up with Butcher and Huey. Starlight is not a big fan of that. And in fact, by the end of the episode, after teaming up with Mother's Milk to try to stop whatever they are going to do at Herogasm, she quits being Starlight and takes the truth to the world. Meanwhile, Homelander is completely shutting down, leading to a big fight between him, Butcher, Huey, and Soldier Boy that does not go that well for anybody. Overall, it's a big, crazy episode of the show. I know I was talking past a lot of stuff there, a lot of different storylines, but there is a lot of talk about. So why don't we get into it? Pete, you love the fucked up sex shit, so what did you think of this episode?
Well, this was a big kind of event in the comics, so once I saw the title, I was like, oh, here we go. I mean, eventually we would have to deal with this at some point, and so here we go. Yeah, deal with it. I mean, it was a big part of the comic. It was a huge event. It was like its own spinoff series, so, you know, I mean... it wasn't like the fuck island like it was in the, the comic books. But it happened. And there was a lot of selfie camera confessions. And, of course, it started all off with the Deep in the beginning who set the tone. Hold on.
You love to do this thing where you're like, I've answered a question about one thing. Now I'm done talking about that. Let's move on to the beginning of the episode.
And let me take it further. It's like, I've answered the question you asked me about the thing I don't want to talk about. Now I'm going to shift quickly over to something I do want to talk about. But let Quick me say, on the Herogasm tip, and I mean that.
Oh, come on, man.
It's funny in a show, in a series that is so good at just like having huge moments, huge action sequences, fights, and huge just like character payoffs, satirical takes on society. The Herogasm felt oddly smaller than I thought it would.
Okay, I was worried you guys were going to disagree and you were going to lump on me for being like, it needed more crazy sex. But, like, the fact that it was a 70s-style house party orgy, granted, plenty of gross stuff going on.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I was surprised it was not more wildly over the top. Particularly, we kicked off the season with a dude jumping at another dude's pee hole. That is way more insane than anything that happened in Herogasm.
Well, I mean, Mother's Milk being attacked by the giant dick man was... a lot, what I mean? So I'm glad it was like, hey, there's this kind of orgy going on, but there's also the story and everything else going on. So it was a fun, I thought it was done really well. And I was happy about the fact that we didn't
liked the episode. I thought it was a very fun episode. There were some great moments in here. The fight at the end was awesome.
Oh,
so
man,
good.
I'm
with Justin just in terms of there was all this build up and even the way they're talking about it in the episode, like, oh, Frenchie's always wanted to see this. And ultimately what they see is like, it's an orgy,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a regular old orgy. And that's the way it was. And like, I think that's fine. I think, all the other characters, heroes and villains, are busy. So they can't just be found at the orgy. And there's so much plot tied up in it. Like, I think in the comics, it is its own event, and the characters go there and stuff happens. In this, the characters have stuff happening, and it just happens to happen at a big ol' sex place. a rump and bump, as they say.
A rump and bump?
Yeah.
But that said, yes, why don't we jump back to the beginning of the episode now that we have actually discussed it? That's how conversations work, Pete. Now you know. At the top of the interview, we get a parody of the Imagine video that Gal Gadot did back at the beginning of the pandemic with a bunch of comedians, with them talking about the attack from a supervillain the last episode, even though they're downplaying it. At the same time, they're doing the bare minimum to reach out to everybody. Very fun little parody moment there.
Oh, my God. The cameos are just bananas.
Great, great cameos. And I think it's starting to come into focus a little bit of maybe the point of the season. We had the Kendall Jenner Pepsi ad from a couple episodes back. Like, it feels like the sort of satirical canon this season is pointed at how everything in our culture runs through media. And they've always been sort of after media, but I think in other seasons, it was a little bit more about other things, more political things. This one, it feels like the target is like, this is how we deal with stuff, and it's wildly ineffective in every front, but everyone feels like something's been done when everything is only getting worse. And I think that's a cool, I like that as a spot. And they always, on this show, show and don't tell in the best way.
I will say, not to be a dissenting opinion here, even though this was a fun moment, I do think things that you're bringing up, like this Imagine video that we kicked off the episode with, and like the Kendall Jenner thing, they are specific parody points versus satire. And I've liked the show better when it's leaned into overall broader media satire. I actually think it's more pointed when it's doing that versus reproducing something in the world of The Boys. Because I guess it takes me out of it a little bit. It makes me think of like, yes, that is how I felt when I was watching the Imagine Gal Gadot video versus this is the general thing that they're doing. Like, I think A-Train's storyline, as we've been talking about it, does a much better job of really pointing these things without being specific about any one thing versus these specific things that seem hooked into these things from the real world.
Well, but I think, because I agree with you, I love the satire in the show, but I do think because we're sort of awash in it and they're sort of tackling all of these accumulated issues in this show that are also in our world, toxic masculinity, conspiracy theories, being told everything's okay by people you can't trust, like all these issues, we're just awash in it. So I do think like these parodies give us the reference point that sort of sharpen it a little bit here, despite the fact that there's no, it is just a parody. I think it does give us like just something to hold on to when we're awash in all of these bad people doing bad things.
All right, fair enough. Well, that said, we jump then over to Homelander, who is completely freaking out here. We talked about this in a previous episode, but I think Stan Edgar seems to have been right on the money in terms of like,
yeah,
good luck. Good luck running the company, buddy.
Yeah.
I love how they're playing this and how effectively this is completely stymied and completely neutered Homelander here. This did not go in the direction I expected. It feels very organic. I think an easier way to go would be Homelander being Homelander and murdering a bunch of people. But even though I don't know how this ties to the whole toxic masculinity, men's rights thing that we were kind of introduced at the beginning of the season, I do think in this middle chunk here, they're doing a really good job of playing this out through the Homelander character.
Yeah, the stress that he's going through is intense. I mean, it is a little weird with the, you know, talking to yourself in the mirror kind of split personality kind of thing that we've seen a bunch in superhero stuff. But I think it's also, you know, commenting on that, so it's fun. But the acting in this episode is, even though there's crazy sex party stuff, the stuff where like Mother's Milk is crying, when Homelander is really pulling off this, like, I'm, you know, all the emotions, I'm scared, I, you know, I'm a fraud, I think that this is like, I'm in too deep, but I'm still fucking Homelander, and kind of having this split personality, like, tough guy, I'll take over you kind of a thing that we've seen before. And, you know, so I mean, this is, you know, one of those things where it's like, you know, the more you kind of work up this ladder of like the I want to be in charge, you know, once you're up there, you kind of realize like, yo, it blows up here. You know, I was having much more fun when yeah. I wasn't running shit. So I think it's an interesting take, but the cast is really flexing on us and showing some really amazing chops here.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you can speak to that from experience, Pete, from those couple weeks you ran Tesla. And, how stressful that was for you.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot, man.
Yeah.
Great.
But really, really great work.
No details.
You're the one that designed the truck that looks like a Tetris piece.
Hey, come on, man. That was kind of, I mean, if you saw, I feel like that's a perfect example. It's like when Homer was in charge of making a car and he put all these specific details in there that he loved and ended up costing millions and millions of dollars. And it's kind of like, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, you're gonna make mistakes like that, you know.
And just to be clear, you hold Homer Simpson up as your main business sort of hero.
Yeah, I mean, it's upsetting if you're not near a bush and you need to disappear. But other than that, I mean, his advice has been spot on.
Yeah, there's no better skill in business than slowly vanishing out of a meeting into any sort of shrubbery.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking about Homelander, like I agree, like. Butcher's arc this season is like finding something that can kill Homelander, his weakness, and he's trying to like beat him on with force. When I think Homelander's found his own weakness, it is like doing anything that isn't like murdering people, like being in charge, being in the spotlight that he's not in control of is his Achilles heel, and it's killing him here. You see it, like he's freaking out. He has this sort of the mirror moment, and I think the Homelander in the mirror is the like. You know, all go, no stop, like erect dick Homelander that he used to be. And he's trying to harden up this weaker Homelander who's appearing here. And it's not working. And I feel like he's going to go too far into the men's rights things, is my prediction, because that has been sort of boiling with him. And you see it a little bit in his interview with Starlight, where he just goes after the poor news anchor. And he's like, everything's fine. And like, he's tipping his hand too hard. And then at the end of the episode, he's knows he's about to be killed and he runs. He doesn't face the one thing he's never done is run.
Yeah. Well, that ties in really nicely, I think, to his reaction to Soldier Boy, which it is tying into this idea of like he exactly what you're saying, Justin, that he's not at the center of the spotlight. And he knows if Soldier Boy is bad, even if Soldier Boy is blowing stuff up, everybody's going to focus on Soldier Boy instead of him. And I think that's ultimately what scares him, is this guy coming back and being like, wow, this is the original hero. And that takes so much away from him. That's the thing that's really knocking him down. And I love that take, too, because Soldier Boy doesn't even care. Like,
he doesn't even know who he is.
Right. He's like, sure, I'll kill you. I'll kill anybody. It's fine. Like, he's so focused on his mission to take out his team, payback, that Homelander is just kind of this side thing, and that makes it even worse for Homelander. So love the way they're playing that.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of Soldier Boy, I love all the stuff that happens here, like all the horrible, horrible things he says. I think he asked for where's the chop suey sauce? And Huey is like, they don't make that anymore. He says, why? And he says, many, many good reasons.
Yeah.
There's also, I think, a line later on about Bill Cosby making really strong drinks.
Well, that whole thing where he's like, Bill Cosby was like, oh, my God. It was just, I mean, as far as a writing standpoint, a tip of the hat to somebody who's been out of the game, where he's like, Bill Cosby's an American hero, he's America's dad. And then the reveal, like just the sideline of like, man, he makes strong drinks, where Huey's face of like realizing like, oh, no, just...
even though hysterical. Huey is doing some pretty terrible stuff this episode and just in general this season, I think his reactions, Jack Quaid's reactions, are still so good.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where watching the downfall of Huey in this season is rough. I mean, you go from somebody who is like a perfect fit for Starlight and somebody who like really is helping and there for Starlight, and then watching him, you know, power corrupting like we're seeing happen with Homelander, where Huey is getting a taste of being the guy who can save the day, and it's ruining his relationship because he cares more about saving her than what she actually wants.
Yeah, I like how they're playing this as well. And I do think, to get back to this theme that we've been kind of skirting with, I do think it ties into the whole men's rights things in a certain way of Huey, you know, outright saying this, but the idea being like, I do want that power. Like, I do want to be the central role of this relationship. I want to be the man in the relationship. And Annie is like, I don't need that. Like, I'm not trying to flex my power. I'm not trying to flex my muscles or anything like that. I'm just being myself. And that's exactly what the discussion is in society, is Huey fighting against this ingrained idea of what a man is supposed to be in a relationship, while Annie is already evolved. She has moved beyond that. She is embodying feminism here and the idea that women are their own creatures with their own wants and needs, which is so hard for so many men to understand in a totally crazy way, honestly.
Well, and the sad, the extra sad part is like,
yeah, it's also like one of those things where it's like, it gets to a point where it's frustrating when you're like, these two just need to really sit down and talk, you know, like they need to just kind of have a real conversation because, you know, like they're just bumping heads right now and not talking things out. So it's starting to get frustrating, but it's also
they're bumping heads when they should be bumping uglies. Right, Pete?
Nope. I just feel like they need to.
Have you guys gone to the doctor and had your uglies checked lately? I always, in any circumstance, I always refer to my genitals as the uglies.
Yes.
Oh wow.
I mean, I'm at the age where I got to get my uglies checked at least once a year by the doctor. You know.
I'm starting to worry my uglies are getting uglier as you get older.
Yeah. But, when you're younger, they're beautiful.
Bumping beauties, is that what they call it?
Bumping beauties. Yeah, let's be a little more positive, Alex. Yeah. We're bumping beauties.
You're right. I'm sorry, guys.
But a note on that, the sad part on Huey and Starlight, not on uglies.
Sure.
Glad to hear it.
Sad news for uglies today.
Oh. What is happening? Justin, talk, please.
Yes. So I got sent a couple ugly pics on the subway.
Fuck you, man.
You don't need to talk about
Starlight. Starlight.
My bad. The Huey Starlight relationship, because it felt like they were past it. And I think that's what is especially upsetting for Annie. She's like, dude, this has never been an issue. And all of a sudden it is now that you're like doing this drug that
hopped up on
hypes
B.
you up. It's like, so that's what I think really, really gets her down. And it's also, you can see Huey in that conversation being like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but he does feel it. And it's not even to me about like, he needs to be particularly a man. He just needs to not be, he's feeling emasculated by Annie's power. And it's embarrassing.
The thing is, it's on him, right? It's not actually on her, and he is putting it on her. He is forcing his will on her, and that's where he's making the mistake. Just one little thing. I thought just like metaphorically, the fact that both of them were naked when they finally have that discussion was just a smart level of like, we're finally going to have this conversation that's been bubbling below the surface. The last thing I wanted to say is real quick, I appreciate the fact that they also haven't broken up. Like, they're still going to deal with this in a relationship. And I think that's a really smart thing, because I think a lesser show or a more soap opera inclined show would be having them break up again. But here, they're still a couple and they're going to have to deal with this. Go ahead.
All right. So I want to go back.
The uglies thing again?
I didn't think I would say this, but great use of nudity. Like the fact that Huey's power, like it was this funny moment of like, oh, of course, if he gets her out of there, they're now both nude. But the fact that that's not what the conversation is about. It's about this thing of like, you know, their relationship and being naked in front of each other and talking about their actual feelings and what's going on. So it was really great, but also hilarious that like, you know, Huey can't really go anywhere nude, but he could show up to an orgy and walk around and look, look for that. So I was like, this actually works here. And you know, that whole,
I feel like you see Jack Quaid play that where he appears in Herogasm naked and he like looks around real quick and he's like, oh, great.
That worked out. We mentioned Mother's Milk earlier, and I really like the arc that we're playing here. We get a big Drax Ronan in Guardians of the Galaxy moment with him, where he finally confronts Soldier Boy, and he's like, "You killed my family." And Soldier Boy is like, "Which one?" Which completely deflates him.
Hear the story, too, for the first time, which is...
Yeah.
Sad. Yes.
Yeah, the grandfather... Oh, man. Yeah,
throwing the car through the window.
Yeah.
It's also interesting to me, though, like, I love the Mother's Milk Annie sort of team up in this episode, and how, like, they're the last actual boys left, because everyone else has gone against the philosophy of it. When it's also his origin story as Mother's Milk, like his meticulous anxiety driven like obsession was that in that moment he says it, he's like, that's why I have to, you know, check the locks, you know, turn the locks and all the burners, yeah, the OCD stuff, like, it's because of he feels the guilt that he got his grandfather killed in this moment.
Well, yeah, the paying attention, being aware of the details, paying attention to details. I mean, the Mother's Milk is amazing in this. I also really loved Mother's Milk and Starlight together. But to kind of, you know, you guys know I love cars. And I feel like, you know, if you're going to die, that's an amazing way to go, right? You looking out a window and a giant Lincoln comes through the window and kills you. I mean, that's just nice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a good way to go.
Your last word is going to be cool.
Look at this. Yeah.
That's nice. And I'll try to work that out for you. You just let me know when I should do it.
Great. Yeah.
It's going to be hard, but I'll make it happen.
Yeah. I thought that was good.
I mean, if they can chuck pumpkins, I mean, Lincolns have got to be next, right?
What?
You know, have you seen those pumpkin chucking machines that they have?
A pumpkin chucker.
Yeah. Yeah. They can do that with a Lincoln, right?
Sure. I don't know if you've ever ridden in a pumpkin in a Cinderella type fashion, but they're actually much easier to throw than a car.
Okay.
You ever seen Smashing Pumpkins? Successful band in the 90s. Smashing Lincolns? Not great.
Not so much.
Why don't we move on and
hold
talk
on, I do have something. Oh, yes, let's talk about Starlight. We talked about sort of half of her arc in this episode, and then the other half she comes clean. She releases a video that Mother's Milk tapes at the end of the episode. And I think the way she gets there, she has this conversation with Newman, where Newman's like, very casually, like, yeah, I'm the killer. You know
Newman.
It. I know it. Which I thought that was such a cool move on the part of the show. Like, the first part of the season was, like, obsessed with Huey knowing this thing but not being able to deal with it. And they just literally wash away Huey's main plot. Because Huey's moved on to being a drug addict to V24. But so, like, I thought that was just like such a smart writing choice, and the way they move through story on the show is really cool. But I also think the Huey, the problems they're having in their relationship is also what's feeding her. Like, Annie doesn't have any sort of tether. Huey was her tether and why she loves him. She, like, was the only person she could trust. And when that's starting to waver, she's like, you know what? What am I doing any of this for? Fuck all this. And she blows it all up. Which I thought was what this show always is, just smashing all the foundation that seems to support it.
Another thing that I thought was really interesting about that move is, much less this season, but last season Newman was kind of the AOC stand-in. And if you are setting up this sort of thing of, like, Homelander is Trump, which they've been doing very, very specifically here, in this episode we talked about the interview section, but I think he calls the interviewer nasty woman or something like that, which is straight up a Trump line. We've had that happen several times. To have Newman inspire Starlight to do this very AOC move of, like, yeah, the government isn't telling you what's going on, I'm going to tell you what's going on straight up to social media. I thought it was interesting to take that off of Newman and put it into Starlight. So I wonder if there was a version of the script where Newman and Annie actually did team up in some sort of fashion, and maybe a change to pivot it towards Annie. But I don't know. Whatever it is, I agree with you. I think it's a good move for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did want to kind of talk about Huey confronted, you know, we talked about people confronting things. Huey confronted A-Train in the Herogasm. And it was interesting, like, you know, they do a great job with A-Train of him being, like, not being able to have, like, emotions or be, you know, he's very kind of, like, superficial in ways. So the fact that, like, even when he was trying to sound sincere by saying I'm sorry, it was funny he was doing like different takes of it. I thought it was a cool, small, great moment between those two characters. But yeah.
Well, and I also think, like, it's I don't know if he died at the end of this episode or not. It certainly felt like a death scene.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll see. But either way, the fact that he seems to be – the fact that he apologizes to Huey shows growth, even though it was a struggle for him to do it. And then he tries to do the right thing with Blue Hawk by murdering him in a horrifying way.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you've got running powers, you're going to drag somebody, you know, on the road while you run, right?
I don't know. I guess that probably wouldn't be my first thing.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. If I was going to go, I'd probably want a car to fly through my window. Like, that's the way I'd want to go. Not being dragged on the road like a car.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. Oh, a lot of we speak. Life and death is really just about a car. Do you have a car you'd like thrown at you, Alex? I'm just making a list.
Oh, great. Great question. Probably a Tesla.
Oh, wow.
Because I'd be like, oh, Pete designed that right before I died.
What a nice last thought. What a testament to your friendship.
I do want
to
mention one other thing in the A-Train storyline, which was, I think, my favorite moment in the episode and maybe my favorite moment of the season. Ashley? Yeah. Is Ashley telling off A-Train for wanting justice for Blue Hawk, getting so worked up, she tears a chunk of her own hair out. And Colby Mutafiti's reaction, the way that she delivered the line, oh, fuck, I can't reproduce it. Yeah. So good. Yeah. Made me laugh out loud. Like, such an unexpected delivery there that only she could do. Amazing.
Yeah. She is so good. Like, I love at the top of the episode, she's in full, like, red and white stripes. She's basically wearing a suit made out of Homelander's cape in such a funny small way. And I think I've said this prediction earlier, like, she's the new Stan Edgar, but she's like bad at it in crazy ways, and it makes for a fun just her being in this leadership role. But she actually matches Homelander's energy as a leader in a good way too.
It was a freaky, amazing moment for sure that only the boys could kind of have happened. I just don't want to lose Ashley. I love Ashley as a character, and I also like Ashley's Ashley, and we didn't get much of that, and I'm hoping that doesn't go away.
Well, I think Ashley's here for the long haul.
Yeah. Let's jump over and talk about Kimiko and Frenchie, because that's a big storyline as well. Over the course of the episode, Kimiko is waiting for Frenchie after their kiss, and he disappeared. Little Nina kidnaps all of them, does the classic, decide which one is going to die, Cherie or Kimiko. Ultimately, Kimiko goes nuts, kills everybody, and realizes, at least according to her, she was the monster all the time. She was never actually a good person.
Disagree.
Take it away, Pete. Why do you disagree?
Well, I just think that I didn't mean to interrupt your monologue there. I was just trying to throw some support there. But I just think that she has been a really nice thing for Frenchie and helping him kind of not be such a douchebag all the time and listen to EDM and different kinds of music and, you know, kind of experience life more. But also, like, they were great together and hopefully will be great together. So, I think I can understand why she thinks she's a monster, but I disagree, and I don't think she's a monster.
I thought this was such a thrilling action sequence. It was so stressful.
Oh, my God. 'Cause
the show, like, kills characters all the time. I was like, and the way it was just written and shot where, like, truly, it was down to milliseconds away from her getting killed, and the way that she fights back was just so good. And sort of the way that Frenchie was shown to be, like, more of a weapon than he has been in sort of the series so far as well.
Yeah, and there's also the dangling thing of Nina is still out there somewhere, so that's probably going to come back to haunt them eventually. What other storylines should we talk about? We should probably mention Black Noir. There's only a little bit of him in this episode,
man.
But
this
is a thing that breaks Homelander, kind of, is Black Noir betraying him, which I think is just really interesting in terms of a character who doesn't say anything, setting up that relationship there and the way they play that out. You also get that totally gross scene of him ripping the tracking chip out and heading it to the lady in the elevator.
That was so amazing. But also just letting you know, like, kind of like how everything's coming together. I mean, Soldier Boy is this kind of non-killable thing that back Black Noir was like, oh, if he's back, fuck all this. I'm not safe. I'm out of here, which was such a smart move on his part and such a hilarious elevator scene. I mean, you want to talk about awkward elevator stuff. I mean, that's got to be top 10 for sure.
In that woman's life, you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, no, she was in the movie Devil.
Okay. Well, it's still top 10. I mean, that's one. It's going to be two.
You have 10 hellish elevator stories? A full 10?
Dude, elevators are the worst. Are you fucking kidding me?
What? In what way? I find them not. Like, have you tried stairs?
Oh, my God. You remember there was like this huge blackout one time, and I was in an elevator, and the doors closed, and the power went out, and it was still like open far enough where I could get out. But like, people in a blackout, you're trapped for hours, maybe days. I mean, you got to be fucking kidding me, man.
Yep. Days? Wow. What are you, in the first elevator? The Orig?
Yeah. You know, the Otis original.
Otis. Nice. Wow. Everybody drop your favorite elevator brand in the comments because you know we're talking about Otis. We're Otis heads on this.
We should also mention the Deep, who has some stuff going on this episode. He seems to be building up some friction with his wife, I would venture.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, he's cheating on her. With any sort of squid, he can get his little
hands. I mean, is that cheating? You don't know. We don't know if that's in their relationship, if it's open, if it's not.
He's playing it like cheating, and not in this episode, but a couple back when he was having sex with his wife, but talking to the squid in the tank behind him, or octopus, whatever. Octopod, some sort of octopod.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I always say, don't noctopus until you're octopus. You know what I'm talking about?
You do say that a lot. And honestly, most times, doesn't track.
Yeah. Doesn't and really by the way, I want to clarify, when I'm talking about bumping uglies, I'm talking about fucking an octopus.
Yeah. And that's where sort of the term makes a little bit more sense, not to shame your taste in, in octopus. But not a traditionally beautiful creature.
Yeah, is this a good time to plug my new Netflix documentary, My Octopus Friends with Benefits?
I think that was sort of the subtitle of the last one. Okay. Netflix changed it to T-shirt.
I want a T-shirt of you that says, I rock the puss. That's what I want.
No, absolutely not. We have Rough Risers T-shirts are on sale at comicbookclub.threadless.com. I am not making that shirt.
Risers!
That's my line. That's my line.
Do you think Black Noir ran, or is he doing a side? Does he have like a plan?
I feel like side mission, right?
No, I'm he's curious, getting the I fuck out. And
Homelander was like, he ran and betrayed me. But Black Noir's whole thing is like showing up and murdering someone and being like, oh,
right.
Well, he's
plan the whole time.
He's making moves so he can't be tracked. So maybe he can go on the offensive. But right now he just got the fuck out of there, which was smart.
And I do think we haven't actually talked about the Herogasm as just a set piece for the show. And despite the fact that it just exists in the show as not a big thing, I do think it was cool and well done. Like, we get the love sausage at the door, Starlight's little bit about not getting mother's milk in the door. She's like, nom, nom, nom. Like,
that was
super funny. They got the way they got that man's penis on fire, I thought was very cool. The guy making an ice dildo, the sushi tray that was being passed around. I was like, great, great joke. And then Mother's Milk getting a full spray down.
Yeah, gross. That was gross. I also, they underplayed them a little bit, but the TNT twins were still fun in a very weird, potentially incestual way, whatever was going on there. Just having them in the background. I liked the throwback TV show that they played with Soldier Boy, their whole thing that was going on in the background about like taping people or not taping people. And ultimately they're dead. They blew up. So that's fine.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. It's funny. Like the sort of the darkest version of the Wonder Twins from DC Comics. I think it's really fun there. A couple of the lines to shout out, A-Train calling Huey Pornhub, I thought was fun. the Vought images instead of Getty images, I thought was cool as well.
That was funny.
The thing. But I want to talk about, we haven't talked about Butcher at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do we think the point here is? Like, he is fully embarrassing. He's fully like given over everything that he believes in for this power to quote unquote take down Homelander. That's his goal. But he's obsessed with the power. Mm-hmm. But he, at the top of the episode, when he and Soldier Boy and Huey are talking, like, he's embarrassing. He's not at all a badass. And I feel like they've just undercut all of that purposefully, well, in a good way, to really show him at his worst.
Yes, I agree with that. But also, like, that fight sequence was badass when, you know, like, Homelander thinks he's dead, and then he's like, oi! And then it's a fucking, like, Superman versus Superman kind of battle. I mean, that That's was great. Badass. But, yeah, him as kind of human, has him and Huey have just kind of corrupted each other, and they've gone way off the deep end. It'll be interesting to see, now that this has failed, what's that going to mean for everybody. But it's total chaos. But, yeah, it's very interesting to see kind of Butcher out of his depth here as to what he can do and can't do.
Well, I think it's like we've been talking about, the temporary V and V in general just sort of makes you more yourself. And with Huey, that's insecurity about his masculinity, which is always bubbling below the surface. And I think intellectually he's able to tamp down that emotional side of him when he doesn't have the V, and he's not when he is on the V. And I think for Butcher, it's the same thing. He was slowly becoming more human and more understanding through knowing Huey, through knowing Annie, through knowing everybody involved in the boys. And then ultimately what the V is doing is it's amping up the vengeful side of him, the part that's like scorched earth. You know, they say that towards the end of the episode. That's the deal that he and Homelander made. And it's just pushing on that aspect of him really, really hard in a very, to your point, Justin, very sad way, you know?
Yeah.
Any other moments from the episode that you guys want to call out in particular?
Great ep. I can't believe there's only two left.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Wild. I don't know how that's going to all go down. Why don't we do who was best boy this episode then? Justin, who was best boy?
It's always tough on this show because the performances are so good and so balanced, but I'm going to give it up for Erin Moriarty as Starlight. I thought her ability to sort of navigate all of this and see her like suffering, see her like out of ideas, and then to make a strong choice like she does at the end of the episode, I thought was cool.
I just wanted to say, as far as like other scenes I want to talk about, Starlight being like to Newman, like either pop my head off or get the fuck out of here, was such a kind of like badass, you know, even though she's going through so much, she's still like, you know, a badass Starlight. So that was cool. For me, I got to say Mother's Milk, man, like that whole him crying in the car with Starlight there and all that kind of stuff was really emotional. And the fact of like he kind of got saved twice, you know, once by Butcher, who was like, dude, do not go at Soldier Boy, and then later by Starlight, you know, that was not going to end well. So, yeah, but man, what an episode.
I'm going to give it up to Soldier Boy this episode, just because this is the first real episode we saw him let loose.
Oh, you liked his takes on society? Is that
what you
liked?
I thought they were interesting, and he had some good points. Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
No, I think Jensen Ackles did a great job here in being perfectly reprehensible and gross the entire episode. The lines, like we talked about, were so precise. The action sequence of him versus Homelander was absolutely killer. So I know people have been waiting a really long time to see what he can do, and they've been very much slow playing it, but this is the one that really blew the doors off, and I thought they nailed it. So there you go. If you would like to support this show and other shows we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about the boys. Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show here at number 4 The Boys on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, boys, 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 boys,
rock
boys.
The puss.
I'll put the stuff after it.
Nice. Keep those uglies bumping, you punkin' chunkers.